Going to continue in our parables series we've been doing. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to read verse 15 in just a moment. But I want to build up to that before we begin to read there. These parables were earthly stories with a heavenly meaning that Jesus used to teach his disciples, but not only his disciples, but to teach us as well. They apply today as much as they did then. And it's amazing how the Bible works, that you can read it over and over and find something new every time, find something that applies to you. Hopefully you're reading it over and over, because you will find new things. But the teaching ministry of Jesus, these parables, were his opportunity to show us his redemptive nature. If you were to look at John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." He sent him here to save us, not to condemn us, not just to make us feel bad, but to understand that we can be saved. We can be forgiven. So this parable today of the unmerciful servant or the unforgiving servant, we're going to learn some things about Jesus and what he did for us and how we are to do the same to others when it comes to forgiveness. Jesus had to live a worthy life to die an unworthy death. And he didn't just die for me. He died as me. He became one of us. He became flesh, just as you and I. And he went through all of the pain so that we can be saved. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You'll see it on the screen. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." God is speaking to us through his Son. And his Son speaks to us many times through parables. Hopefully you're seeing the importance of these parables and understanding what they mean. It's not just reading them, it's studying them to make sense of it. So as we begin today in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, we're building up to the parable. This is not the parable. This is Jesus teaching. He's just talked about the parable of the lost sheep. And we come into verse 15 through 20. It says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector." Now look at verse 18. "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You've heard that many times, probably before. There's another time when Jesus says it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. He says, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There is an authority that is given to these that come together. And Jesus is telling us that we can bind and loose. Now, these are two different contexts even. In verse 16 that I just read, where he's talking about the keys to the kingdom, it's in the context of spiritual warfare. He's just discussed building his church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there's authority when we come together to whatever we bind and loose will be bound and loosed in heaven. But now, in chapter 18, where we are reading, now look at verse 19. "Truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." God has put a system in place that when we come together, he is there. We talked about it when we began the service this morning, that God's presence is here. It was here before we came. It's here because we come together in unity and we are of one mind and we want God to be in this place. Amen? That's why we come together, is to experience God. And so there is the system in place where two or three gather. The glory will come down vertically from God to us, and then we are to pass it on horizontally to other people. We accept the forgiveness, the grace and mercy that we receive, but then we extend the same mercy and grace that we receive, the same forgiveness that we receive. I hope you're hearing this before we come in to the parable we're about to read. Look at verse 21. Jesus has been talking about this system that he's put in place. And verse 21, Peter says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" In other words, what am I to do with this idea of forgiveness? Why is he asking that when Jesus has been talking about the authority as to when we come together? It's kind of an odd question, but it's because he's thinking, if your glory on my life is determined by how I get along with other people, if your glory on my life is determined by how I forgive, how many times do I have to forgive? When do I stop the flow of forgiveness coming into my life? So what does Jesus say in verse 22? "I tell you, not seven times." Peter was being generous here. Do you understand? Seven times was a lot. And this time, it was actually pretty generous if you forgave someone three times. So Peter's not only doubled that, he's added one more. He says seven times. And Jesus says, not seven, but 77 times. In other words, as quickly as you get offended, you can quickly forgive. As many times as something happens to you, you are to continue to forgive. Peter was looking for a guideline on forgiveness. And Jesus answered him, not once, not twice, but every time. And the moment that you stop forgiving, the moment that you consider yourself holding on to that and making someone else earn the right to be forgiven, you've stopped the flow. You're choking the system. And it's no longer able to flow through you because of the lack of forgiveness. It's not just something we give that person. It's actually something we are giving ourselves. Can you say amen to that? As much as forgiving others allows opportunity for us to receive, likewise, unforgiveness can affect our ability to receive. It's hard to have healthy relationships when you're taking something unhealthy into other relationships. You're carrying that with you everywhere you go, and every relationship that begins after that begins with something in it that is unhealthy. We haven't even got to the parable yet, and it's already pretty heavy. But I can be honest with you today. I can be a little bit transparent with you. In the last couple of years, I've experienced some things. To be honest, it wasn't directly at me, but it was watching someone else go through something, someone I loved go through something where they were hurt. And it was very hard to forgive the person who was doing the hurting. I got to think that if it were me, it would be even harder. If it was affecting me directly, it still affected me. See, we can stand up here and talk about forgiveness all day long, and it sounds good. It's coming right out of the Bible. It is what we are to do. But actually walking through forgiveness can be hard. So I don't make light of what has happened to you. But let me tell you this. Jesus never gave us anything we couldn't handle. He did not make this an option. He actually commands it. So it's not, can I forgive? You can. It's, will I choose to forgive? So on that note, I want us to stand in this place all over. I want you to take the person's hand next to you. Courtney, will you join me? And we're going to pray this morning that the spirit of forgiveness will be in this place. As we talk about this, as we begin to read this parable that we're going to learn from today, that we would truly accept it, not only in our minds, but in our hearts. So, Father, we come to you right now. Lord, we're gathered in this place together. And, Lord, your presence is here. Lord, we need a spirit of forgiveness in this place today. I pray that people will walk away free of the bondage that they've held on to by being unable to forgive. Let your Spirit do His work right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Look with me at our text, Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his own fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him. Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister. Where? From your mind? From your heart. It's from our hearts that we do the forgiving. It doesn't come natural. Can you say amen to that? It doesn't come natural. It's a conscious, demanding choice to forgive. It takes effort on your part. It's work to forgive. But you can choose to forgive. It's something that sometimes we feel powerless and we have a hard time saying, I can let go. It's hard to say that, but understand, once again, Jesus did not make this optional. He commanded us to forgive. And when we don't, we're stopping the system. We're stopping the flow. We should inhale what we need and exhale what we don't need. Taking what we need in forgiveness, but also giving what we should in forgiveness. This man was just set free. Understand this story, though. In this time, justice was that he would be owned by the man that he owed. When he couldn't pay it back, justice at this time said, not only do I own you, I own everything that you own, including your spouse, including your children. They're all mine until you can repay the debt. That's just how it worked. He owed the money, but he couldn't pay it. And it didn't just affect him, it affected his entire family. Understand something. When you choose not to forgive, when you're holding on to that, you're not just affecting yourself, you're affecting your entire family. Your children will reap the benefits of that or the negativity of that. Your grandchildren. Every relationship is affected when you choose not to forgive. But at this servant fell on his knees before his master and said, be patient with me. He begged, I will pay it back. What's he asking for? He's asking for patience, which really means he's asking for time. Just give me time and I will pay it back. But the master gives him so much more than just time. He completely says, you know what? Not just time. Forget about it. I cancel the entire debt. You owe me nothing. This is not logical. This doesn't make sense to us that someone would owe us so much and that they would just say, forget it. But Jesus is painting a very clear picture of what we receive in forgiveness. Church, we don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. And we're asking Him, please, just forgive me. And you know what He says? It's wiped free. Forget about it. It's no longer a debt in your life. Not only are you free, your children are free, your family is free, you are set free. And you have to understand that you've been set free or you can't set others free. Some people have a skewed idea of what it means to be a Christian. It's sad, but they do. And what I mean by that is we hear people all the time say, you know, I understand going to church, you know, it keeps you as a good person. But I've done some bad things in my life, but I also do good things. And I think they kind of just weigh each other out. You ever hear people talk like that? I think the good probably outweighs the bad. I'm okay. I'm going to be just fine. But it doesn't work that way. Not our own society doesn't even allow it to work that way. For instance, if I were to, let's take Roger. I mean, he's a big guy, but I think I could take him. So let's say we get in a fight and I beat him up, okay? And I just totally abuse the guy. And he's hurt. And I say, you know what? I hurt Roger. I mean, I got mad and I went off and I beat him up. Sorry, Roger. But I just say, you know, it was a one-time thing. I do other good things. I go to church. I give to charity. I think the good outweighs the bad, so I think I'm okay. It doesn't work that way. Society doesn't allow it. If you abuse someone, you are going to pay for it. It doesn't matter how many good things you did. So we must understand forgiveness. Good things are good, but the bad things are there, and it's forgiveness that gives us a clean slate. It's forgiveness that allows us to be set free today. May you understand that. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says this. When we were dead in our sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in Christ. We live. It's our breath in our lungs that we pour out our praise. Because He gives us life. We were dead in our sins, but He gave us life. He forgave us all our sins. Having condemned us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. There's nothing more exciting than the story of redemption, the story of salvation. We're getting close to Easter. It's only a month away, and I can't believe that. That's crazy that we're already at Easter, but it's here, and I look forward to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we should celebrate that every day.
Amen.
It's every day that we are set free and He cancels the debt. And what He tells us in this parable is that we are to do the same. But too many times, even though we've been set free, someone hurts us, someone does something, and all of a sudden it's like, well, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve to be set free. They don't deserve my forgiveness. This guy was probably walking around pretty much on a high when he's been let go of all of this debt. But it says he turns right around and goes to his servant and says, give me the money you owe. The guy asked for the same thing. Man, just give me time to pay it back. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't even give the same thing he had just been given. Church, may you understand. It's not easy. It's not fair. But was it fair for Jesus to die on a cross for us? And all He's saying is give the same thing I've given you. So when this master found out about this, he calls his servant back and says, you wicked servant, I canceled all your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master had him handed over to the jailers to be tortured. What does this mean? What is this really saying to us? What I want to do is I want to take you on a journey today. If you'll notice on the back of your bulletin, you're going to see three things that we need to go along the journey of forgiveness. Now you're going to laugh at me because I'm going to get a little silly for just a moment. And we're going to talk about The Wizard of Oz. How many ever seen the movie? The classic movie, The Wizard of Oz. We've all seen it. So let me show you a quick clip just to refresh your memory of what is going on.
I'd be brave as a blizzard. I'd be gentle as a lizard. I'd be clever as a kitten.
If the wizard is the wizard who will serve,
then I'm sure to get a brain, a heart,
a home,
the knife.
That's good. That's all we needed to see. I just wanted you to be reminded. Dorothy is in this crazy dream, and she's going along the yellow brick road, and she needs some things. Yes, there's a scarecrow, a tin man, and a lion. But Dorothy needed some things in order to find her way back home. And today, as we take this journey to forgiveness, we need the same things. Is this spiritual in any way, this movie? No. So please do not misunderstand this. I want this to be in your mind. When you start thinking of holding on to that unforgiveness, holding on to something that someone did to you, there are three things that you need to let go. Three things that you need to walk in freedom and in forgiveness. And those three things are going to be like what Dorothy needs, just to make it home. So let's look at them. The first thing we need is a brain. We all have one. We need to use it. But we need, what I mean by a brain is the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, we can have the mind of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, you can have the mind of Christ. What we need to do is understand what has happened to us. There is something that happened to you. Sometimes we try to avoid this. I don't know why I feel this way, but I just do. Something is causing you to feel this anger, this bitterness inside of you. So it's six things we need to know. The who, what, when, where, how, and why. Who hurt you? When did it happen? So that you can go back and go, okay, since then, I've been holding on to this. Why am I hurting? What are you going to do about it? Because just continuing to hurt is not the answer. How can we be set free, and where do we turn? We need the mind of Christ to understand what's going on. What happened to the servant who could not forgive after he'd been forgiven? It says he was turned over to the jailers. The master didn't torture him. He was turned over to the jailers to be tortured. Jesus is not in the torturing business. But what tortures you when you choose not to forgive is the fact that you're not forgiving. It continues to eat away in your mind. If they could only be paid back for what they did to me. And we begin to torture ourselves thinking about it day after day after day. It haunts us. We want to hold on to this because we want to make sure they pay for what they've done. And we'll let go when we feel like they've earned the right to be forgiven. So we continue to hold on, but all it's doing, it's not tormenting them, it's tormenting us. I think it's only fitting that we learn this from the one who's speaking. Jesus is teaching us in this parable. And I want to read you a situation where Jesus was betrayed. You all know it. His name was Judas. And I want you to hear, this is out of a book by Max Lucado, and it's called, oh my goodness, The Final Week of Jesus. And I just want you to hear some of what Jesus did in this moment. Here comes the man who's turned against me. The words were spoken to Judas, but they could have been spoken to anyone. They could have been spoken to John, to Peter, to James. They could have been spoken to Thomas, to Andrew, to Nathaniel. They could have been spoken to every person who praised him on last Sunday, but abandoned him tonight. And though the kiss was planted by Judas, the betrayal was committed by all. Every person took a step, but no one took a stand. It's even more unfair when you consider the betrayal was Judas's idea. The religious leaders didn't seek him out. Judas sought them. And he said this, "What will you pay me for giving Jesus to you?" So he propositioned them. And the incongruity of his words, deeds, and actions. I mean, I wouldn't call Judas a friend. But that's exactly what Jesus called him. Why? Because Jesus could see something we can't. Jesus knew Judas had been seduced by a powerful foe. He was aware of the wiles of Satan's whispers. May you understand the enemy today is not the person that you're having a hard time forgiving. There's another enemy. And we have to understand that. Just as Jesus did. Just as Jesus did. He did not justify what Judas did. He did not minimize the deed. Nor did he release Judas from his choice. But he did look eye to eye with his betrayer and try to understand. As long as you hate your enemy, please hear this because this is huge. It's why I wanted to read this. As long as you hate your enemy, a jail door is closed and a prisoner is taken. But when you try to understand and release your foe from hatred, then the prisoner is released and that prisoner is you. Perhaps the idea of trying to understand Judas in our world is simply too gracious. It's like we're giving them something they don't deserve by trying to understand. May you have the mind of Christ. And may you try to understand what happened. May you understand where they were coming from. They may not even meant to have hurt you. But even if they did it on purpose, we're still asked to do what? To forgive. Harboring that anger, will that solve the problem? No. Will getting even remove the hurt? No. Demanding your enemy get his or her share of pain in the process is just going to be painful for you. May you choose to understand the person. May you have the mind of Christ. That's the first thing we need along the journey to forgiveness. The second thing we need is a new heart. Because let's just be honest. If you've been hurt, if you've been abused, you have a broken heart. It hurts and it's scarred. But here's the good news. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. And the new is here." The second thing we need is a new heart. And Christ gives us just that. No matter how old you are, no matter how many times you've been hurt, no matter what has happened to you, you can be made new. So this is the question I have for you today. And I want everyone looking at me as I ask this question. Because really, you're going to ask yourself in your heart. Although you're the one who was hurt, although you're the one who was treated wrong, my question to you today is, are you the one who needs to ask for forgiveness? Yes, that person hurt you. Yes, they should be asking for forgiveness. But as long as you're holding on to that, you're stopping the flow. And we are the ones who have to be forgiving because we've been forgiven. Romans chapter 12, and I'm about to close here. Romans chapter 12, I want you to turn there. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, write this on the back of your bulletin. We're about to write in the bulletin anyway. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. As we get a new heart, as we ask Christ to forgive us, and our heart is made new and made whole, look at chapter 12 of Romans, verses 14 through 19, it says, "Bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay no evil for evil." That's hard to do. "Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath." Look at this. "For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's where you can be set free. Understand, you want vengeance, you want justice, but God can take care of that too. Turn it over to Him and let Him take care of it. It may not be in the way you want. It may not be in the timing that you wanted, but vengeance is His, says the Lord. Justice will be done. It may be done on the other side of eternity, but justice will be done. Don't allow one person's bad decisions to affect the rest of your life. Can you say amen to that? Don't allow one person's bad decisions affect the rest of your relationships, your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. No one understands you better than Jesus. We tend to turn to everyone else to find a shoulder to cry on. Turn to Jesus, and He will give you a new heart. He knows exactly what you've been through, way more than any person could know. So we need the mind of Christ. We need a new heart. And finally, we need courage. If I could sing like that lion, I would give you that growly song he sings, but I can't do it. So I'm not even going to try. But it takes courage to forgive. I said, it takes courage to forgive. I'm going to try that again. It takes courage to forgive. It takes courage to forgive. Courage to overcome evil. Courage to go above and beyond what we're actually capable of doing. Because here we are back in Romans chapter 12. Now look at the last two verses, 20 and 21. Look at this. This is where courage, it has to be courage and it has to be God for us to be hurt and go not only to forgiving them, but look at what we are to do. If your enemy is hungry, what do? You feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, what do? Give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on their head. This is what everybody says. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. Do not overcome evil by evil. Excuse me. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now everybody gets excited because we think we get to pour hot coals on the person who did something to us. No, we're treating them with love. We're treating them with respect and we're showing them the love of Jesus. And out of doing that, you're pouring hot coals on their head. You can picture that all you want. As long as you've forgiven them, just think, man, I'm going to love them, but I'm going to give them a hug. But hot coals are going over their head. They're burning up right now. It says it right there. Some of us just want to pour the whole hot coals. That's all we can picture. But if you will do good, if you will love your enemy, you are defeating the enemy. Because here is the honest and the most real thing you can understand. I've already said it once. The enemy is not your spouse. The enemy is not your coworker. The enemy is not your mother-in-law. The enemy is Satan. And he's coming in against you and he lies, he deceives, he abuses, he takes advantage. He wants you to hold on to that unforgiveness as long as he can get you to do so. He is the enemy. May you understand that today. He's behind every deception. He's behind everything that hurts you. And you defeat him when you just love other people. When you choose to forgive, you're defeating the enemy. Church, I want us walking out of here free today, defeating Satan. Can you say amen to that? Taking authority over him because we have gathered in this place and we are going to see victory. You are going to live a life of freedom if you just forgive. If you just let go and let the system work. God takes care of it. He's the system in place as we receive the mercy and the grace. And we begin to just share that with other people. The system is working. Look at the back of your bulletin again. This is how we're going to close today. I want to pray that God will give us the mind of Christ, a new heart that is whole, that can love those even who have hurt us, and the courage to overcome the enemy. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody ever witnessed that and say, man, that it's more blessed to give than to receive? It's the same with forgiveness. It's not easy. It's not fair. But you are more blessed to be the one giving forgiveness than to receive. There's two things on the back of the bulletin. Hopefully you have a pen or you can write this down. And if you're a person who says, Chad, I've been dealing with this. I've been holding on to something. We're looking for a goal. Hopefully, you're going to write down today's date. And you're going to say, I will forgive and let go by March, what is today? 12th of 2017. I'm choosing to forgive. But if you can't do that, let's set a goal. 1 week from today, on March 19th, I will choose to be over this and to have forgiven that person. If it's a month from now, if that's what you've got to do, all that matters is you got to do it. The Bible tells us to forgive. Write a date. Make a goal. And then what's the next line? I will do blank to show that I have let go. This is not between you and the person that you're forgiving. You're not going to go to them and say, I will give them a big hug to show that I've let go. If God tells you to do that, go for it. But do not walk up to them and say, I forgive you. And then they're gone. That's not what this is about. This is between you and God. But you can say, I will pray for you every day to show that I have forgiven you. Every time I think of you, I will not go negative. I will think positive things. Whatever it takes to be able to forgive, that's what you're writing down. I will do whatever it takes to show that I have let go. This is not something for you to throw in the trash. If this is you, if this is for you, please take this. At least till the moment you've forgiven. Then you can throw it away and never look at it again. Let me make something clear before we pray. Forgiveness does not mean you have to keep doing the same thing over and over, continuing to get hurt. There's a reason you were hurt, and if they try to continue doing that, get out. Get away from them. It doesn't mean you have to continue to trust them. That trust has to be won back. It has to be earned. The trust, don't misunderstand me, the trust has to be earned. The forgiveness is free. The trust has to be earned. But it doesn't mean you cannot trust other people. That's when we begin to allow one instance to affect the rest of our relationships. When we can't trust anybody. We can't even trust God because we've been so hurt. May you understand today. You can walk free. How many of you are thankful we're forgiven? Come on. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet in this place. And let's give God praise that we are forgiven. We are set free. We owe nothing. He canceled your debt. Understand that you are set free today, and all he's asking is that you do the same thing. And in doing so, you're setting yourself free. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we've already prayed. We've asked for the Spirit of forgiveness to be in this place, and I pray that people walk away set free today. May they understand what it feels like. The ooey gooey good feeling that comes when we are set free. It's true, it's real, and it does happen. It is possible. And it comes straight from you. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you leave today, if you are one of these people and you say, Chad, I need somebody to just pray for me. I need a little help. I'm right here. I want to pray with you. I long to be able to just pray with you and agree in prayer. Together, we will pray that this thing will be done. And if today's not the day, if you wrote down a week from now, then I want to pray with you for the following week that you will find freedom. So do not walk out of this place. Maybe it's the person standing next to you that you can say, please agree with me in prayer. that I will be able to be free. But if you need prayer this morning, I invite you to come forward. Man, I love each and every one of you. God loves you, and may you walk out of here free today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be dismissed.